We're talking about today's soldiers as they await the possibility of war. Joining us now are two people who may know a little bit of what they're in for. Greg Downey and Alex Vernon are two former platoon leaders who were some of the first to go in on the ground during Operation Desert Storm back in February of 1991. They co-authored a book. They were among five people who were part of a book called The Eyes of Orion about their experiences. Greg joins us from his office in Tucson, Arizona, and Alex is now an English professor at Hendricks College, joins us from his office in Conway, Arkansas, and welcome to you both.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you for having us.
And if you have a question for our guest, give us a call, 800-989-8255. And Greg Downey, what was it like? You were getting ready to go into Iraq, what is it, almost exactly 12 years ago. What was it like on the eve of war?
It was a surreal experience, really. I mean, you knew there was a turning point where you knew that was the only way home was through Iraq and through Kuwait. And that's mostly what I vividly recall is just that feeling that, well, here it is. Let's hope for the best and let's get on with our job.
Alex Vernon, was there a lot of conversation before the war started, nervousness about what might happen, a discussion about what are we doing here?
That's an interesting question. Since Greg and I were both platoon leaders, conversations like that I tried, unless my enlisted soldiers breached those with me, I tried to have those share my own fears and anxieties only with my fellow lieutenants because I didn't want my soldiers to know about my own fears. But certainly those conversations were happening. I did have some soldiers approach me individually about their fears, and we talked about them. There was a lot of anxiety, absolutely.
Even then, in those days, there was a concern about chemical weapons, biological weapons, and you guys all got the shots, I'm sure.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. And before a war happens, how much of your mind is animated by those fears? And Greg, let me start with you. And how much is animated by fears of how you are going to do, particularly when you have the responsibility for your men and your unit?
Well, that's the beauty of training for years. As a soldier, I mean, that's what your life is all about, is training for combat. That's the acme of your service. Therefore, your mind is almost desensitized. Obviously, you are afraid. I wouldn't want to be in a foxhole with someone who wasn't afraid, because I'd be getting myself out of that foxhole. But you're afraid, but your mission focus is so clear at that point, because it comes down to it that this is life or death. You know, that's about as clear a mission focus as what you can have. All the other distractions are just peripheral to that. Keeping your soldiers alive, fulfilling the mission, and moving on to the next objective, whatever it may be. So there's a lot of it that you can skew out just because of the clarity of the mission.
Alex, is there a lot of concern, though, about screwing up?
Certainly. I certainly experienced that myself, and I'm sure a lot of soldiers experience that. But I guess I would echo what Greg said to a degree. Most of those sorts of concerns, once the mission starts, once you cross the line of departure, you don't have time to worry about those things anymore. So there's a lot of pre-war anxiety, absolutely, and fears about performance and getting your soldiers killed. But again, once you cross the line of departure, you don't have time to worry about those things.
And Neil, I'd like to just throw one more thing in there. When I noticed the most anxiety was right after the bullets stopped flying and the dust was settling. That's when the gravity of the event that you've just been through, that's when it hits you. And that's the weirdest thing I think that I took in was it wasn't during the battle, it wasn't prior to the battle, it was after the battle. And I think that's when your mind kicks in and it starts to help you kind of reconcile with what just happened, if it's possible.
We're speaking with Greg Downey and Alex Vernon, who participated in the armored assault into Iraq 12 years ago during Desert Storm. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Alex Vernon, let me ask you, when the order came, was it a relief?
I think to some extent, yes, because as I mentioned a second ago, the worrying could stop. I mean, I was holding out to the very end. Tariq Aziz at that point was, I think, receiving envoys from Russia to try to avert a war, and I was holding out to the very end that we would not go to war. But once it happened, there was somewhat of relief that those worries were over.
Greg Downey, I wanted to ask you a little bit about any advice you might have for your contemporary, your successors, the men who are in the in the M1A1 tanks and in the Bradley armored vehicles, the guys who and might be leading the assault into Iraq this time around. What are your concerns for them? What are you thinking about, given your experience?
Well, my first bit of advice would be trust your instincts, trust your gut feeling on how to take action. The diciest time of the Gulf War, the first Gulf War back in 91, was post-ceasefire. And reason being is because the rules of engagement changed. That is the toughest in terms of making ethical, sound decisions that protect not only your soldiers but also the Iraqi civilians. That's when I faced probably my biggest dilemmas on what actions I were to take. Simply because post-ceasefire it's ambiguous. You know, you have your set of rules of engagement, but you have to be very careful about how you employ those because you don't want to endanger your own soldiers. And at the same time, you have to balance the need to protect the civilian population as well as the Iraqi army. If they're not doing anything wrong. So, at some point in time, there will be a ceasefire. That is when I would tell my soldiers to be the most vigilant. If I were over there right now. These soldiers are trained. They're trained to conduct warfare. What we aren't very well trained to do is post-warfare. It's really not in our training sequence to learn how to establish a DMZ that is, you know, based on force protection of your own, at the same time based on eliminating any collateral damage. So to me, that's what I recall the most is just the uncertainty of, how do I handle this? Because I was never taught on whether I let, you know, this Iraqi family through the DMZ without searching their truck or something.
Hmm. Alex Vernon, for the most part, your tanks operated in the desert, the open desert. There's a prospect now of urban warfare. Is that something that would frighten you?
Absolutely. Tanks don't work very well in the cities. Their advantages there. Armor, their long range, every advantage the tank has is pretty much eliminated inside the city. And I really particularly fear for if we do have to go to urban warfare, maybe we can avoid that scenario, but it will be our technological advantage will be much decreased if we have to fight in the cities.
Greg Downey, you guys were both young men 12 years ago. A lot of people would still regard you as young men. Do you think you're better equipped now to do what you did then?
Absolutely. I think Alex put it best, that a lieutenant needs the physical abilities and resilience of a 19-year-old, but the maturity of like a 40-year-old, just in ways of handling the soldiers better. I mean, the older you get, the wiser you get. Your emotions are a little more in line with where they need to be when it comes to leadership. But, you know, the Army platoons win battles in the military. That's what wins the battles are platoons. And we have to have confidence in our young men that are leading these platoons, these young lieutenants, that they're going to do what is right based on the guidance and the information they receive on the battlefield. So I have the utmost confidence in them, but at the same time, I'm a realist. I know that I would be a better platoon leader today from the mental standpoint than I would have been 12 years ago.
And Alex, we just have a minute or so left, but I was wondering if you could talk for a moment. We keep hearing a lot about the shock and awe that aerial bombardment might cause. You were in a tank. That's a very scary implement, isn't it?
Being in the tank or receiving the aerial and bombarded?
Well, both, but I meant being outside watching a tank go by. I mean, it's a visceral experience.
Absolutely. One of the powers that people attribute to the tanks is what we call it shock effect. That just by having that tank barrel down upon you, whether the guns are blazing or not, doesn't matter. The shock of that 70-plus ton vehicle coming at you is frequently enough just to, I don't know, paralyze a soldier standing there in its path.
70 tons, you're going to feel it before you see it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks to you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Neil.
Greg Downey was with us from his office in Tucson, Arizona. Alex Vernon was with us from his office in Conway, Arkansas. Both were platoon leaders during the 1991 Gulf War and were among the authors of a book called The Eyes of Orion, which tells about their experiences. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.